What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Hour number three. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And it looks like we're seeing a flip-flop coming from James Comey, because earlier in the day, the reports were coming on out that he was going to stop short of saying that President Trump obstructed justice, and that he was apparently going to spend most of his time arguing over Trump's claim that Comey said he wasn't under investigation, which is kind of a nitpick. Now, all of a sudden, we're seeing more and more reports. One came from Reason. I'm looking at one from Mike.com, where the Senate Intelligence Committee has released James Comey's pre-written intro to his testimony. And it's out there basically with a bunch of allegations, doesn't have any documentation, basically saying Trump's pressure on Comey was repeated and obvious, and that other senior administration officials let it happen. And then he goes on to say that he observed bizarre and troubling behavior by the president. So the media is already going to town that this is going to be devastating to Donald Trump. But there's a couple of points to make here. This pre-written testimony, it's just Comey's allegations. There's nothing to back it up at this point. And we know Comey has been caught lying before. We know Comey was protecting Hillary Clinton. And Comey has an axe to grind because Donald Trump did fire him. And so we have to take what Comey is saying with a grain of salt. Now, the big question will be if he makes these same statements under oath before the Senate Intelligence Committee, because this document has not been sworn to. It's not under oath. Comey can say anything in there. And then when he gets under oath, he can say, well, it was just my opinion, and pull back. And meanwhile, the corporate media has got this pre-written intro to go to town with. And I think that might explain the disparity between the earlier reports that Comey was not going to say Trump obstructed justice while he was under oath, while at the same time putting out this intro to try and give the corporate media ammunition to pre-spin this whole thing. But this is a hatchet job, plain and simple. If Comey told me it was a sunny day outside, I would feel morally obligated to take an umbrella with me. Anybody who knows the real history of the FBI knows truth is a foreign concept to them. Go back and reread the history of COINTELPRO. Meanwhile, apparently, Governor Jerry Brown, and I don't know, is there something in the water out there? Maybe it's all that fracking fluid that got into the drinking water, because they really are going crazy out there. Very alarming story, this one coming out of Red State. Apparently, Governor Jerry Brown is really sick and tired of the California taxpayers complaining about how the money is going to illegal immigrants and various other things that people of California are not in favor of. And so Jerry Brown basically came out and said that the California taxpayers, meaning people who live in California, they have a job, they're paying their taxes, he's calling them freeloaders. They're freeloaders, because they want to keep more of their money for themselves, and they're not willing to give it to the illegal immigrants. I think the Californians need to take a real good look at the potential for election fraud going on in their state as well. Speaking of governors and states, this one is just a little bit out there. Our governor here in Hawaii has just signed a bill making Hawaii the first state in the nation to join the Paris Agreement, openly defying the Trump administration. There is just a little tiny problem, and it has to do with Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1 of the Constitution. No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque and reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. That's in the Constitution. And that first part is right there. The governor of a state cannot enter into a treaty agreement with a foreign nation, period, end of discussion. In addition, I think our governor just violated the Logan Act. Now, it may just be symbolic, and the governor is out there saying, well, we're just going to go along with the expectations and demands. But, you know, Hawaii is already hovering on the edge of bankruptcy. We've got this white elephant of the elevated rail system that has just turned into this horrible boondoggle. And all of this global warming nonsense, it's just another cash grab. Now, as you know, the oft-repeated claim by the carbon Nazis that the vast majority of climate scientists are wholly in agreement with this has been shown to be a fraud. A lot of the people whose names were on that list have demanded they be taken off. They've gone public saying they were never asked whether their name could go on the list. In some cases, they aren't even real scientists. They're just people who are around. They said, we're going to use your name. Build up the list. It was all a hoax. We're going to do a quick shout-out now to our on-air affiliates just now rejoining our network. Feel free to call into the show, 800-313-9443. The phones are actually working perfectly today. We're so glad for that. So, getting on back to human-caused global warming. Over at notrickzone.com, they have an article talking about how last year, there were 60, actually more than 60, peer-reviewed papers published in scientific journals demonstrating that today's warming isn't global, unprecedented, or remarkable. And they had all these graphs, 80 of these graphs showing that, yes, there are some places on Earth that warm, some places are cooling, some places are showing no change at all. Now, remember a week or so ago, NASA came on out admitting that the data from the satellite that they launched in 1979 to monitor the Arctic ice caps is not showing the ice caps are shrinking. In fact, for the last few years, they've been above the normal seasonal average. It just isn't there. Another article that came out, this is from What's Up With That, is another peer-reviewed paper talking about how as atmospheric carbon dioxide has increased, plant growth has accelerated. The earth is greening, and that is a good thing. Now, the EPA has tried to sell the idea that carbon dioxide is a toxic pollutant. No, it is not. It is an essential component of the cycle of life here on Earth. If all the carbon dioxide magically went away, plants would die and animals would follow shortly thereafter. Now, as plants grow more, they will absorb more CO2 from the air. It's a naturally stable system. But, you know, if there's a fast buck to be made off a natural process, well, then we'll make it artificial. And apparently, there's a company in Switzerland, Climeworks, that has developed a commercial plant that sucks carbon dioxide out of the air and then uses it to grow vegetables. Huzzah, huzzah, huzzah. Forgetting that if you plant the vegetables, they will suck carbon dioxide directly from the air all by themselves. And it does confirm carbon dioxide is plant food. The plants need it. The more CO2 there is, the more the plants will grow, and the more CO2 they will absorb, and the more oxygen they'll put out. And oxygen's a good thing. Another article. This is from paulstramer.net. Climate change. Climate change is code for excuse to tax. Any excuse will do when you're dealing with governments that are hopelessly in unpayable debt to those private central banks. And this article goes down with a lot of the comments I made on my ClimateGate page. Think about all the times you've told doom was coming. If you didn't do what the government told you, if you didn't buy this, if you didn't pay this tax, if you didn't fill out this piece of paperwork, horrible things were going to happen. Remember, back in the mid-1970s, the same people screaming global warming were talking about global cooling and the coming ice age. And that was as intellectually dishonest back then as they are now. Yes, climate changes. It always has. It always will. Call a press conference. Earth's climate changes. Remember all the things we've been told throughout the years? Y2K. Oh, it's going to be horrible. The killer bees. It's all about scaring you with some hobgoblin to trick you out of your money and your obedience. And they do it over and over and over and over again. And if you look back and you see this repeating pattern, you come to understand they're still doing the same thing. They're still doing the same thing. So let's talk about genetically modified crops. Because the U.S. is still trying to get other countries to sign treaties that will force them to buy genetically modified crops from the United States of America and abandon their own natural organic heritage crops. Interestingly enough, Melania has banned Monsanto from the White House diet. And she's not shy about explaining, well, as you know, their son Barron has got some health issues. And she's saying when they changed the diet to all natural organic, his health really began to improve. And we've seen that report from a lot of different people. The reason has to do with the way GMO works. Now, if you're cooking the food, obviously the altered DNA is destroyed. But it isn't the altered DNA that is the issue, at least in this case. There may be another one I'm going to get to in a minute. The issue is protein expression. Because if you change the DNA, you change the resulting proteins created by that DNA. Sometimes that is how they are putting in the chemicals, like the pesticides. The problem is that DNA is intensely self-referential. You can't modify one part of the DNA to get your desired result and just expect that that's the only thing that will change. And we have seen some benign results of that. The Roundup Ready corn, the corn stalk, is much tougher than the natural variety. Farmers have to have Kevlar belted tires on their tractors. And that illustrates that when you alter the DNA of a life form, it may produce unpredictable results elsewhere in the organism that nobody is looking for. The results might not even surface for a very long time. So Melania Trump has banned GMO from the White House diet. And apparently, GM foods are banned over at Westminster. Parliament doesn't want to have anything to do with them either. Now, as you know, down in Mexico, there was a lawsuit to ban Monsanto's GMO crops. The farmers wanted natural crops. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. And the last court decision basically ruled against Monsanto. And Mexico's Supreme Court has now refused to review. They're letting the lower ruling stand. Everybody is pushing back against this very dangerous, untested technology. And it is very, very dangerous. All the more so because the damage can occur over many years' time. It may not surface for a long while. It's not like when a reactor melts down and you get a big boom or something like that. The change is very subtle and pervasive all over the globe. Now, a few years ago, there was a problem where people were starting to come down with this condition called Morgellons disease. And, of course, the immediate response from the corporate media is, it's all in their heads. It's all in their heads. They're faking it. And people were really very, very concerned because these fibers were starting to grow out of people's skin. They were getting these itchy lesions. And somebody finally did an analysis of some of these fibers and found they contained plant DNA. And I think it would have been a legitimate question to ask if this Morgellons was the first GMO accident, and it was hushed up. But the reality is that if you have a nuclear reactor and it melts down, well, it's just there. Three Mile Island, Chernobyl, Fukushima. You cover it all over, and you keep everybody out for a while, and that's kind of the end of it. If you make a mistake with DNA, and it breaks into the wild, as it inevitably seems to do in this day and age, then it gets everywhere, and you could have a real problem. One area of concern that I have is the epicyte gene. This was a gene developed in a GMO corn that would render anybody eating that corn unable to reproduce, because it would trick the body into responding to human sperm as if it was an infection. You would generate antibodies that would attack the human sperm, would render you absolutely sterile. And this was developed under a USDA grant, and now it's owned by, in part, Monsanto. And if that gene got into the wild and wound up in all the world's corn, you're looking at a serious long-term population decline. This is the most dangerous technology man has ever played with. We're tinkering with the code of life itself. And if you look at how well companies like Microsoft write software, you realize there's a real risk going on there. All right, we're going to take a phone call. James in Ohio, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi. As far as the GMO thing, there's a book which is an excellent starter book for anyone who's just become woke called You're Being Lied To, edited by Russ Kick, who is the chief over at disinfo.com. And there's an article in there called You Are What You Eat, and it cites tests that show that rats that were fed different varieties of food, the DNA apparently made it through the intestinal wall and hybridized the DNA from the food, hybridized with the living tissue inside the rats. So
Might
be a concern, yeah.
Wow, that's very scary. Well, you know, you get into the area of what are called prions, which can cause all kinds of very strange diseases because they're just tiny snippets of DNA that get broken off from either DNA or RNA, and they easily penetrate the cell walls, and they can just insert themselves. And potato blight is a prion-based disease, for example. That's really scary, the idea that this modified DNA in the food, if it's not destroyed by cooking, can actually splice into the body of who's consuming it. That's really scary. I thought the primary danger was malformed proteins.
Yeah. My ex was a surgeon's assistant, and she said when they opened somebody up for brain surgery and saw the spongiform, you know, the Creutzfeldt-Jacobs disease, that the stainless steel instruments that they used in the surgery, they didn't sterilize them, they incinerate them. They're so frightened of that. And by the way, there's a virologist, Colm Kellerer, has a book, I can't remember what it's called, but it's about Alzheimer's, and the idea is that a lot of the Alzheimer's cases, and especially early onset Alzheimer's, they're not Alzheimer's, they're mad cow disease because nobody is checking the U.S. beef supply for bovine spongiform encephalopathy.
Boy, that is really very, very scary. I keep on going back to this idea that we're having all these new scourges, whether it's autism or eczema or other things, and how peanut anaphylaxis. And it all seems to track back to the abuses of the vaccines. And we do seem to have a lot of idiocy in terms of how our technology is being deployed, that it's simply rushed out there to marketplace to get the maximum profit. And these various government agencies, which we are told are supposed to be looking out for our well-being, they're looking the other way. And that really is scary. And we know that a lot of disease reports are being politicized, that a lot of things are being called flu that aren't really flu in order to push the flu vaccine sales. And it's really scary to live in a country where you literally cannot trust anything you're being told by the corporate media or the government. And you have to just go on out and try and find all that information for yourself. And maybe that's another reason why people are turning off their cable TV. They're getting on their computer to find out, you know, am I being lied to about this or that medication? James, stay on the line. I want to come back to you after this commercial break.
All right.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide. Foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them, and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network, thank you.
In the night, without a fight, you can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with James in Ohio. And James, getting on back to this idea that fragments of DNA from GMO food have been discovered in lab rats to be penetrating the intestinal tract and actually merging into the cells of the rat itself. That is very alarming. Now, I understand at the microbial level, pathogen level, swapping of DNA happens a lot. That's how these new versions of flus come about, because they're so small and the genetic material is so exposed that it's easy for bits and pieces to clip on and off. But the idea of a multi-celled creature being affected in this way, that's very alarming.
Yeah, this was before GMOs were widespread. This was just food. I'm not sure. I can't remember what they fed them, but whatever, the genes from meat or plant matter apparently passed through the intestine and hybridized. I had one other comment. You mentioned a vaccine against skepticism. I wasn't able to find the article on that. However, you also mentioned the previous story of a vaccine against religious fundamentalism. And in that case, they were talking about a vaccine that would inactivate a gene that produces a protein called VMAT2. And VMAT2 is supposed to be they call it the God molecule. It's the molecule that makes you feel connected to something greater, spiritual feelings, romantic love, and everything. And they were going to develop a vaccine to knock that out in human beings. Now, the only problem with that is that they have mice and rats that they call knockouts, where they have genetically engineered them to not express a protein. And they've done that with VMAT2. The problem with that is they don't tend to live very long. So, you know, if they do
it's
have this vaccine...
nice to fool Mother Nature.
Right.
All right, well, thank you for the information, and that that does put a whole new dimension on it. And again, my primary area of concern for GMO food was malformed proteins, which your body attempts to take in, and they sort of look like the protein and try and fit into the receptor, but they don't quite, and inevitably that's going to produce some side effects, which could be, you know, cause illnesses, symptoms, other issues like that.
Our genome is like a Rubik's Cube with a million sides. They really don't know what they're doing when they go altering genes. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it's a disaster.
Well, I have enough problems with my 3x3 Rubik's Cube, so I'm not going to become a genetic engineer, even though I'm a big fan of designer genes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Thank you.
All right, thanks. We're going to let you go here. All right, now then, I just got an email. Now, this is skipping on back to the economy and all the retail stores that are selling and everything like this. And I just got an email from a listener in Seattle, and they're saying that their Macy's store, and it's a big store. I've actually been there. Apparently, last year, they sold the top four floors off to be redeveloped as office space, office rental space, and now they've just sold two more floors. So they're down to just two floors of what was once this huge eight-story tall Macy's. And again, people just don't have the money. It isn't the fault of online retail sales. People just don't have money. Prior to the 2008 mortgage security fraud meltdown, 60% of our economy was consumer spending. You can't yank that out without devastating consequences, and we're starting to see that. All right, we're going to start a phone call with Jerry in Chicago. And Jerry, in about 30 seconds, I'm going to have to put you on hold through the commercial break, but go ahead and start what you want to say.
Okay, well, first of what I wanted to say is I called in 2 days ago and I told you I bought 5 10-ounce silver bars, but the problem is the real question I wanted to ask you was, let's say the currency in this country, the petrodollar collapses and things are measured in dollar, what would that silver be worth?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold and we're going to do 4 minutes of commercials and then I'll come on back and I'll answer your question.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking with James. I'm sorry. We're talking with Jerry in Chicago. And first of all, I wouldn't use the term petrodollar because that actually applies to a narrow range of U.S. economic activity in terms of having the resource-rich areas of Earth sell those resources only for the dollar. So that's what the petrodollar is. Now, when you're talking about the dollar or any monetary unit, the way it worked throughout history was there was an agreed-upon commodity of recognized value that was established as the standard, the benchmark. And all other items of value were declared to be proportional to it. And that was certainly the way the country started, where the silver and the gold in the coinage was the money. And it was a recognized unit of value, and everything else was always equated to that silver and that gold value. Now, following the creation of the Federal Reserve and the delinking of metals from the paper currency, they're all flying around wildly, and when you start talking about what your silver is going to be worth during the crash of the dollar, well, the silver is worth what it is right now in your hand. The question is, how little will the dollar be worth relative to it? That's probably going to be set by your classic market forces of supply and demand.
Okay, but again, I'm looking for a measurement. I mean, right now, silver is trading around $18 an ounce. But if you were to measure it, say, after the crash, and it's $150 an ounce, the thing is that $150 is still worthless. It's like the Weimar Republic.
Yeah, absolutely. Or the Zimbabwe banknotes. And at that point, there's going to have to be a new stable monetary system imposed. One of the things that a lot of preppers are doing is they're going out to websites like eBay and they're getting what is called junk silver, which are the pre-1964 U.S. coins that actually had metal in them. The dimes and quarters had silver, the nickels had nickel, the pennies actually had a penny's worth of copper. These are recognized units of value that will be certainly usable as a currency monetary unit, rather, following the collapse of the paper dollar.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, I still pull out my 1982 or pre-pennies because I believe they're worth 2.3 cents in copper value as of today.
Yes, they keep talking about getting rid of the penny because it's actually costing them more than a penny to make them.
Yes, okay. And now here's one other question, and this is regards your last caller talking about DNA. I heard Dr. Deagle last week talking about back in 1976, DARPA was working on something where they had trained mice to be attracted to the scent and the dander and the cat fur, and they would literally walk into their, commit suicide by walking right up to the cat.
I think that actually came out from a parasite that was infecting mice and altering their brains because the parasite needed to go through the cat to reproduce. And I forget the exact details, but that's where that all came from. Yeah, it is possible for outside chemicals to alter behavior. I mean, certainly anybody who's into recreational drugs understands that. I remember when I was living in Los Angeles, there was this really nasty stuff going on. It was called angel dust. I don't even remember what was in it. But it was causing people to just do incredibly insane, bizarre things. So, yeah, your body is very, very porous, and you do have to be careful what you're putting in there. Because, again, it doesn't stay in the gut. It doesn't stay in the stomach. One of the things that I find very alarming about our current situation is that cosmetic companies are exempt from much product testing on the excuse that their products are applied externally only. And we know that's not true. Chemicals can penetrate your skin. Anything with DMSO is going to go right through the skin. If you ever take a physiology course, one of the experiments they'll do in the classroom is rub garlic on the soles of your feet and then time how long it is before you taste it in your mouth. The body is actually quite porous to certain classes of chemicals.
I think the human body is a very unique thing. And I, the more you learn, the more you protect it, the more you build your immune system, which is, I believe, your body armor against all of the crap that the FDA and the USDA and the petrochemical pharmaceutical corporations are pumping into us. And you know what? Thanks for bringing that up, and I'll let you go. Thank you very much for taking my call.
All right, well, thank you very much for the phone call here. You know, one of the really bizarre things in our culture is how there's so much cosmetics and soap and brushes where they want you to scrub the dead skin cells off of your skin. But those dead skin cells, the epithelial layer, is one of the first lines of defense against infection. And the more you exfoliate, the more you're actually exposing the lower levels of your skin to potentially infectious organisms, including those that may lead to various and sundry skin cancers. But it is a rather amazing aspect of the human race that our desire to appear to be whatever the current definition of beautiful is will often lead us to engage in very toxic behaviors destructive of our health. A really good example, of course, would be during Elizabethan England. Remember when everybody had those big, tall collars that completely hid the neck? Well, the reason for that was that following Queen Elizabeth and that very white paint that they were all putting on their face, that was actually based on lead oxide. and they were getting lead poisoning, and it was resulting in these horrible lesions on the neck. And rather than stop using the lead paint on the face, because it was the fashion, the queen was doing it after all, everybody started wearing those gigantic collars. It is interesting. Now, I want to step back here to that story I did about the farm tractors and everything, because I got a very hostile email from somebody who's obviously a fan of technology, accusing me of being a Luddite and all the rest of it. And I'm not a Luddite, okay, because I've spent my life involved in technology, whether it was back with NASA, computer animation, what I'm doing with all of this equipment here right now. I just feel that there has to be a balanced approach. I think technology is perfectly valid to build to do those things humans cannot. My concern is when we start substituting technology for things humans can do, there's going to be an economic displacement, and that needs to be taken into the calculations for policy. And we're hearing about more and more stores that are going to automated food preparation, robotic food preparation, and that's all well and good. But what about the people who are being displaced and they no longer have their jobs? Something has to be done about that. And I think it's time for a national discussion on that. And no, I'm not a Luddite. I'm just saying we are creating a problem. We're leading to a society, and this is a little reducto ad absurdum logic, where we're going to have factories full of robots and stores full of robots standing around doing nothing because there are no more customers able to come on in and buy what the factories are making and the stores are selling. Obviously, that's not a working economy. A working economy is where people work. They're able to earn money. They're able to trade their labor for wages and salaries to pump that money back into the system. And the more people you put out of work with the robots, the less commerce is going to be taking place. Those robots aren't going to the store to buy things. Anyway. Over at the Dakota Access Pipeline, a lot of people are wagging fingers and saying, I told you so, I told you so, because the pipeline is not even running at full capacity and it's already developing multiple leaks. And so those protesters, they had a legitimate point. The land is being exposed to these toxic petrochemicals. The water supply to the reservation and downstream is at risk. But unfortunately, we're living in a country where corporate profits are considered important, and people are not. We're just here to make them rich or fight their wars, and that's it. Now, a little bit of my love for technology here. Virgin Galactic has conducted the fifth glide flight test with the VSS Unity. This is their first space tourism craft, and they have had five successful drop glide tests, and now they're getting ready to move on to the next phase where they're actually going to add weight to the spacecraft to test its maneuverability and get ready for an actual rocket-powered flight. So they're moving ahead with that, and boy, that would be a treat. I mean, I'm never going to have the money to be able to do that, but just to get into space just once here. Now, Paul Allen, we tease him a lot because of his penchant for buying lots and lots of yachts. Whereas, let's be realistic, he can only be on one of them at a time. But he is doing some really cool things here. And apparently, he has decided that he wants his own space launch capability. And he founded a company called Strato Launch Systems. And their approach to space launch is to have a large airplane that carries small rockets up to the top of the atmosphere. They drop, fire, go into orbit. And to do this, he has built what is now the world's largest airplane. And they just debuted it. They rolled it out of its hangar in the Mojave. It looks to me like a rutan design, classic rutan design. And it is huge. It's something like a 500-foot wingspan. And that will be amazing to see that. Get on up there. Yeah, now's the time to commercialize space. Let's make it profitable, whether it's space tourism or space-based manufacturing. That was a big part of the justification for the space station, which is what, now in its 17th year? It's amazing. I look up and I see that thing flying overhead. And I remember that when I was a little kid, there were no satellites. I was born before Sputnik. And now there's all kinds of things up there, and I got to work on Viking and Voyager and all this other stuff. And so, yeah, I think we're coming up on that time to renew our commitment to space travel. And I'm fully on board with Donald Trump's plan to change NASA away from simply rubber stamping human-caused global warming and getting back to the business of space exploration. Not because I'm out there saying that I want to see the American flag on these other planets. And only partly because I'm curious about what's going on those other planets. I'd like to see a confirmation that we did find life on Mars in Viking. I'd like to see if there's something swimming around in those methane pools on Titan. I'm kind of curious about those things. But the most important reason to support a renewed civilian space program is it is a technology incubator, and that is something that is really missing from this country. We have military technology incubators. They're getting a lot of money to make things that kill people. But the military likes to keep things secret. And usually by the time the military will actually release a technology that they have developed, it'll be 10, 15 years down the road when the potential for commercial application is virtually nil. And those of you who are on my age are going to remember that that tech boom of the 70s, 80s, and 90s all came out of solving the problems of going to the moon with the Apollo moon program. Whether it's these computers we're looking at, the microchips, this amazing Raspberry Pi, my little geek watch I have here, we need that again. Our government foolishly allowed the manufacturing based on the technology from Apollo to be let go to other countries. We had a corporate culture that didn't want to dirty its hands on the actual making of products, so they just licensed the technology somewhere else along with the jobs that go with it. And those other countries that have acquired the rights to manufacture those products, they're not going to let it come back. They're not going to be that foolish. They're going to hang on to it. If we're going to make America great again, economically, we have to leapfrog ahead into the next technology, whether it's photonics, new materials, finding something you can actually do with aerogels. It's out there. And solving the problems of going out into space are going to help spawn these new industries, new products, new technologies. So I'm fully on board with that. I'm looking forward to them launching the James Webb Space Telescope. That is going to be an amazing, amazing craft. I've been looking at the engineering simulations of it. A lot of things could go wrong, and unfortunately, it's going to be so far away from Earth that it's not going to be reachable by any repair crew. So I hope they're a little more careful with this one than they were with the original Hubble telescope, because that was a huge embarrassment back then. Now then, apparently there's been a big stink where apparently United Airlines flew a passenger jet that was not declared airworthy 23 times. And apparently the airline replaced a fuel pump pressure switch in response to a problem a flight crew had documented, but instead of performing the required inspection, the FAA said United simply put the plane back into service. That's against the rules. You're not supposed to do that. When you replace a component on a passenger jet, you have to inspect it and test it and make sure it's really working. Now, getting on back to space again. If you're an astronomer, and especially if you're a radio astronomer, and most especially if you're involved in the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, you'll probably remember an incident that happened back in 1977 called the WOW signal. And this radio astronomer had an antenna pointed up in the sky above Ohio, and there was this huge surge in the radio signal. And it was so impressive, he actually wrote WOW on the paper readout next to the data. And this was Dr. Jerry Ellman, and it came from Sagittarius, but it matched no known celestial object. It lasted for 72 seconds, and UFO, space alien, SETI people have been saying it had to be a message from intelligent extraterrestrials, even though the signal sounded a lot like noise. Well, finally, a researcher figured out what was going on. They went back and looked at where the comets were in 1977 and discovered there were two comets that went through where the antenna was looking. And the radio signals created by the comets' gas interaction is what caused the signal. And you do have to be careful about that. Now, that being said, I'm absolutely convinced the universe is full of life and full of intelligent life. I just can't think of a reason why they would waste their time with us. But again, I keep seeing all of this stuff from Curiosity where they're finding all this stuff and they keep saying, could have been life, may have been life, looking awfully. I wish somebody at NASA would grow a spine and say, yeah, there was life on Mars, or more to the point, there still is. We're going to take a break for commercials, back with the last segment of our program after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Last segment of the program. Don't bother calling. We're not going to take any more calls because we're wrapping up the show here a little bit. Getting on back to human-caused global warming and Al Gore, and we all love to make fun of him for some of the amazing things he's said and done over the years. When he was out there running for president, He went up to New Hampshire and he wanted to impress everybody that he was this outdoorsman, and he wanted a picture of himself paddling a canoe. And they went out to a lake, and the lake was very, very low, and they actually literally could not get the canoe to float. So Al Gore literally called up the New Hampshire state authorities to open a floodgate on a dam so the water would come on down and the pond would rise and he could get his picture paddling the canoe. New Hampshire was in the middle of a drought at the time. And more recently, when he was starting to push this whole human-caused global warming thing, he was actually interviewed on TV saying that the temperature of Earth's core is millions of degrees, which is absolutely wrong. Al Gore doesn't really have an educational background to be involved in climate. He's a politician. That's what he's always done. And as a matter of fact, his science grades in college were mediocre at best. But the latest one has to just be the topper. This is over at Natural News. And Al Gore is out there doing interviews. He's pushing global warming. I think he's trying to basically get everybody ready to see his new movie, The Inconvenient Sequel, which is probably going to be about as ludicrous as his first mockumentary, The Inconvenient Truth. And he made this bizarre comment in an interview on Fox News where high tides are proof that global warming is rising, is increasing sea levels. See, you're seeing the water come up, you know, just a few feet an hour, and that's proof that the world's oceans are rising. No, it's proof that there are tides. There's that big rock out there called the moon, and that even bigger ball of hydrogen gas called the sun. They tug at the water, and you get high tides and low tides. And when you have a new moon or a full moon, you get the strongest tides. And that is absolutely nothing to do with the level of the oceans rising overall. It is simply where the water is piled up due to that gravitational tug. And it is just amazing how dumb this guy really is about this subject that he is purporting to be such an expert on. So, and again, this is how politicians work. Take something that's happening naturally, declare it a crisis, and offer to sell you a solution. Or even if there isn't something, make it up. Killer bees, Y2K. The end of the world is coming if you don't give me money and obedience. And as I keep saying over and over again, how many times do you have to be lied to before you're ready to stand up and say, you guys are full of it and I am just not listening to you anymore? Because that's the best and most appropriate response. Just stop listening. I get emails from this one person who's always watching The View and just going on about the crazy, insane things they're saying, and I keep writing back saying, why are you watching? Why are you subjecting yourself to this? Turn it off. That's what the power switch is for. That's what the channel selector is for. All right, there's the music. Time for me to get on out of here. We'll be back tomorrow, Thursday, here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And until then, again, take what you learn here, take what you learn from the website, share it with everyone that you know. We're in a war to try and get the truth out there against a coordinated lie storm from the corporate media and the government. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game, at the top of your game, with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.